together, Hebrews chapter 2. Let's stand together. We're moving on, verses 5 to 13 tonight. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 to 13. I'll begin reading in verse 5, if you'll pick it up in the even-numbered verses at verse 6, down to verse 13. New King James Version. If you don't have that, it'd be on the screens. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And I'll end in verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Father, these are the deep things of God. These are awesome truths. And Father, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would unpack before us the wealth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the magnitude of his salvation. And Father, the remarkable and awesome future that we have in Christ Jesus, that as long as Jesus Christ lives, we live. As long as Jesus will be in heaven, so will we. As long as Christ is, so shall we be. Hallelujah, Lord, thank you. We praise you that eternity is our ultimate destination with you. And in the meantime, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we would, Lord, be baptized with your Holy Spirit's awareness of the urgency of the hour, the intensity of these times, and God, that you'd strip away all the stuff that we or others are hiding behind. And Lord, that we would just press into you and know you like we've never known you before. We pray it in Jesus' name. And again, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, church. Tonight's message is titled, and probably going to be for the next few weeks, Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture. I know that's a huge title, but look at it. Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture. That is a interesting statement, I have to tell you. When I wrote that down, I'm thinking, that's going to kind of freak some people out. But when you, and we shall, dig into this starting tonight, you're going to see how that is in fact true. That the absolute ultimate fulfillment of the Scriptures is all about Jesus Christ and all that the Bible has promised. And that more than any other time, I believe, in human history, and I mean that, this is not bombastic, I'm saying it because I believe it is a reality. The church has never been this far along in history, has it, than now. It's never been this late. We've never been this far down the chronology of humanity. And we've never been this close to what is called the end times in the Bible. Which means we've never been this close to the church being called up into the air to meet the Lord. I pray that it's not only in our generation, I pray that It's very soon. It would be nice if it was tonight. It would be awesome. When I look around the world and hear all the news and see all the stuff that's going on, it would be awesome. I'm sorry, but it would be awesome to be out of here. I mean, well, you just want to escape everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. The great escape. By the way, it's not in my notes, but it comes to my mind. In Luke 21:36, Jesus says, pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. So yeah, you bet. Absolutely. So when we say that Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture, by way of introduction to this section, this is what we mean. Remember this, that the first, I'm going to give you two big words. The first eschatological statement in the Bible, eschatological, eschatology, the first prophecy given in the Bible is what is known as soteriologic or soteriology. The first prophetic announcement, the first prophecy given in the Bible is about your salvation. And it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The first prophecy. So I don't like to get into Bible prophecy. It scares me. It shouldn't scare you. Bible prophecy should confirm. Listen, didn't we talk about that on Sunday? How over and over again God's prophetic word confirms who Jesus Christ is and what God is going to do, what he's been doing with the church, what he's going to be doing with Israel. It's very clear in the Bible. And in Genesis 3:15, the Bible says God is speaking. This is just after the fall. We don't know. I assume it's moments after Adam and Eve plunged humanity into darkness. God said, I will put enmity between you. He's speaking to Satan and the woman. And between your seed, that's creepy, right? Satan has offspring. And her seed, notice in your Bible, it's capital S. This is the first declaration of the divinity of the coming of the Son of God. That from Eve would come, listen, are you looking? Are you looking on your, looking in your Bible? You're all looking at the screen. Okay, fine, as long as you're looking. So God says, I'm going to put warfare between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your sperm and her sperm. And that right there, if you're Jewish, if you're a student of the Hebrew Scriptures, should cause you to be arrested right now. He, whoever he is the result of the woman and this seed, capital S. He, the one that comes forth from the woman, which is divinely brought forth, that's why it's a capital S, shall bruise. That's the gentle word. Some of your translations or margins will have the word, he shall crush your head. So Satan's head's going to get crushed, but you, that is Satan, you shall crush his heel. Listen, you can live suffering a crushed heel, but you cannot live suffering a crushed head. And the messianic prophecy is from female, from woman, from the daughters of Eve will come one who is divinely implanted within woman, not by human means. Because if it was human means, then it wouldn't be a capital S on seed. Are you with me? Psalm 40, verse 7. Write it down, please. Introduction. Psalm 40, verse 7 says, then I said, behold, I come in the scroll, that is the volume of the book, it is written of me. According to Psalm 40, the entire Bible is written about whoever this me is. It means he's also the one who's going to come forth from the woman who is going to crush Satan's head. John 5:39, Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which do testify of me. You got to stop and think about that for a moment. Jesus is saying, you scholars have scoured the scriptures for generations looking for eternal life. And you guys should have recognized that the scriptures are speaking about me. Wow. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 through 7. Hebrews 10, 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, verse 5 says, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. You guys all know that, right? God did not accept all of the sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats throughout all the Old Testament era, but for one thing, to cover the sin of the sinner or of the nation. To cover. Never does the Old Testament offerings say that those offerings took away sin. It only covered sin. Friends, you don't want your sins covered because they could be uncovered. The Old Testament, leave it on the screen. We're still going to go on this, but the Old Testament scriptures made it extremely clear that it had a deficit. It lacked something. And what was that thing? It lacked the very fulfillment of what it promised. The Messiah would come and he would save the world. And the Bible of the Old Testament prophesied prophetically salvation would be coming. But it didn't have the fulfillment. And so the blood of innocent animals acted like, was a type or a symbol of the coming of the Messiah. Sins were covered. That's why, listen, that's why the blood was put on the mercy seat on the ark. Remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? Harrison Ford? Spielberg? Do you remember the Ark of the Covenant in the movie? It's a perfect, I mean, he really did an amazing job on that ark. It is to scale. It is fantastic. You remember the lid that those poor Nazis took off and they melted when they lifted the lid? Did anybody see the movie I'm talking about? Okay. That lid, on top of the lid, not inside the box, on top of the lid where the angels were bowed down looking at the lid, right? Their wings are touching in the middle. That lid would be covered with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. God in heaven, the Shekinah glory manifested in the presence of the Holy of Holies, would look down upon the blood that the angels were looking at, symbolically in those carved images, and God would cover over the sins of the people and the nation. Cover, not take away. Very, very important. Hebrews 10, verse 7 says, then I said, behold, I have come, and in the volume of the book it is written of me, we read that from Psalm 40, to do your will, O God. In other words, the author of the book of Hebrews understands by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the psalmist, am I losing you? The psalmist in Psalm 40 was writing about the Messiah. So here we are 2,000 years removed. Whoever wrote, and I believe it's Paul, but that's irrelevant. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews is given it to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit speaks and understands, of course, he's the author of Old and New Testament, that the one in the book of Psalms and the one in Hebrews is one and the same. It's the same one that was born from the woman that was prophesied in Genesis 3. It's the same one who said to the scribes and Pharisees, you studied the scriptures, don't you see me in it? Don't you recognize me in it? Which from that statement alone, every time you and I pick up the Bible, I don't care if you're reading through Leviticus, you know, the blood and the thing over here and the spleens over there and you put the entrails out there. And every time you approach any chapter of the Bible, you need to ask this question. Where's Jesus in this chapter? What's being said about Jesus in this chapter? On Resurrection Day, 2,000 years ago, on the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Luke 24:25 says, By the way, it's late now. They have to get home before dark, but there's two disciples. They're heading back to Emmaus. And so they're talking together. And they've been talking about what a very, very interesting, crazy day it's been. Because these two report there in Luke that there's rumors about Jesus having been risen from the dead. They're not yet convinced. Can you imagine? Go back 21 centuries to the first Easter morning, resurrection morning. Man, there's a lot of people talking about it. You know what, man? The web is lit up. People are just, everyone's commenting about this. That they, some people said they saw Jesus. The tomb is empty. Some Roman guards were literally blown away by what happened and what's going on. And then listen to what the scripture says. And then verse 25, then he said to them, Jesus appears next to them. The scripture says they're walking along and then Jesus comes alongside them. I would love to see that. I think they're just walking and they don't see this part, but I think he just goes, whoosh, and he appears. And he kind of, no doubt, catches up to them. And he says to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all, listen everybody, in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Hello everybody, listen. This is Jesus speaking about the Old Testament. And according to Jesus, his understanding of the Old Testament, which would have been kosher, every Jew would have been aware of the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, you guys are so slow. Don't you remember, don't you know that the Messiah must suffer? You know, I say that and I'm being really loud about it right now because Jews today say we don't believe in Jesus because the Bible says that the Messiah is not going to suffer. Well, you need to read your Bible. Yes, it does. And ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you guys act like you're excited about that? That, thank you. That's very not heartwarming for me. That is amazing stuff. That's why I tell you that our faith is founded upon fact. That is glorious. Our faith is founded upon fact, people. And Jesus is holding those disciples to know it. In fact, going down to verse 30, same chapter. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. They recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I pray that, by the way. This is one of my prayers. Oh, dear God, this Sunday morning. Oh, dear God, this Wednesday night. Please be present and open up the scriptures to our heart. We'll know it, Lord, if you do, because our hearts will burn for your truth. I think if I study, if I pray, right, if I keep myself usable to God and you as well, I believe that we can stand on that promise and expect God to catch our hearts on fire. I think it was A.W. Tozer that talked about the fellowship of the burning heart. That's what he talked about, his group of friends, the fellowship of the burning heart. And so here we go, church. We jump into this, verses 5 through 7. Jesus Christ is the end of Scripture. He's the all in all. Because there is no greater messenger. No greater. Now I know by how I'm phrasing that, I could get my head cut off. Because there are others who are claiming that their way to heaven has a messenger. Well, listen, all messengers that have ever been or ever shall be will bow to this messenger. This one is the one by which all scripture, the Bible, is written about him. And listen, because there is no greater messenger, according to the Bible says that Jesus Christ is that one and final word that God has given to us. In fact, look, just look back in chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. It's a hard word to say, worlds. It's cosmoses. Cosmos, plural. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, is the maker of all there is. Jesus is the architect and the builder. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise, this is Moses speaking, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, speaking to the Jews, him you shall hear. Now that was a prophecy of Moses. Moses said that. And you would think that throughout antiquity, people would be at least claiming to be a follower of Moses, that they would listen to what Moses had to say. So Moses said in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, by the way, the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus quoted that book more than any other book of the Old Testament. It appears to be his favorite book. And Moses said, I'm not the one. There's one coming. Him you're going to listen to. Well, we're still waiting for that day. That day is coming, by the way. We talked about that last Sunday. God is assembling his nation in the earth right now. His people are being drawn back into the land. The great tribulation period is yet ahead. Israel's got its worst days of its history, but also its greatest days of its future. Acts chapter 3. Are you guys all right?
Yes.
Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. Acts 3. Listen to what, and I love this. This is the Bible commenting on the Bible. You can't get better than that. Acts 3, 19. Peter is speaking. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God, here it is, will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that whatever soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Verse 24. Yes, all the prophets from Samuel to those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these things. Listen, I hope you're a skeptic tonight. Right now, you're a big doubter. This is a pretty cool thing. 2,000 years ago, you've got Peter, who, according to the Bible, which you may not believe in, the Holy Spirit is upon Peter. And he's speaking scripture. And what is he doing? The Holy Spirit, using Peter 2,000 years ago, goes back to a 1,000-year-old prophecy, even beyond that, and is quoting it. So when we stand tonight on top of the Bible, you can be rest assured that whatever promise, whatever judgment, whatever joy, whatever condemnation God's word says, you can bank on it. You can absolutely get ready for it. Incredible. So I guess we should get started with our Bible study. We've got a few moments left. Verse 5. It says here, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. Do you remember Jesus is the one and only? Jesus is the one that is the focus of this entire book, entire Bible? Well, right here in verse 5 it says that concerning the world and the oversight of the world, God has not committed that to any angel. See, from where you and I are at, Angels are a big deal. But listen, Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the creator of angels, according to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Jesus became human for us. When Jesus died on the cross, are you sitting down? Listen, he didn't die for any angels. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus redeems angels. He redeems us, and he's going to restore nature. But there's no redemption for angels that have fallen. And he didn't die on the cross for angels. And nowhere in Scripture did he ever promise that he would give angels the rule of the universe or this earth. But he did, listen, but he did give it to Adam and Eve. You think of that? That's radical. That's amazing. When the scripture says the world to come, church, we're talking about what is known as the kingdom age. You can put that down in your notes, the millennium. You see, the millennium, you talk a lot about the millennium. It's not in the Bible. It is in the Bible. It's in Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2. You want to take a look at this. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, John says, having the key to the bottomless pit, the abuso, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old. By the way, some scholars say the serpent of old is obviously, what do you think it's a, what do you think it's a allusion or a reference to? Or a, yes, Genesis. It's exactly the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for, that's the word right there, a millennium, 1,000 years. Some people today say there's a certain cult that knocks on your door that says Satan is currently bound and we are in the millennium. If you've read anything about the millennium, if this is it, then I don't want anything to do with it. The millennium I read about in the Bible is awesome. But right now, listen, right now, Satan rules in the affairs of this world. We don't like to hear this, but it's true. According to the Bible, Satan is the one who has the ability to sway the souls of men. We don't like to hear this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. You know, that's enough. Right? Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, that should be enough to get you to evangelize your family. If they don't believe in the gospel, it's because Satan. It's not because your uncle's a jerk. It's not because your wife is an imbecile. Listen, if your wife or if your uncle's not saved, it's because Satan has, imagine Satan in the spirit realm taking like nylon thread and a needle and sewing their eyelids together and then and tied it off with a knot. They can't see spiritual things. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, notice, thank God it's a lower G, of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, your unbelieving friends are blinded by Satan himself. And according to the scripture, he is this one who the God of this age. Does that bother you? It bothers me. I don't like that. The Bible says Satan is loose throughout this world. And I find it, listen, I understand, I get it. When the world says, I can't stand your God. When children are raped and people are swept away by a tsunami and the volcanoes eat up people's lives and livestock and the earthquake and the buildings, I can't stand your God. They have no idea who they're addressing. They got the wrong one. Tonight, listen, just tonight, seriously, the amount of grace it takes for God to expend for you and I to live one day, all around you and I at any given moment are the forces of hell seeking to destroy us. We don't see it. We're blind because we have only our natural eyes. That's why God has given us in our spirit discernment. You know what I'm talking about. Every believer. Listen, if you're not a believer, you're not going to know what I'm about to say. Christians who are walking in the light as he is in the light. Scripture says 1 John 1. We have an anointing that says from the Holy Spirit. Amen. That anointing is the ability to discern spiritual light from spiritual darkness. We can be in the most illuminated building in the world. You can go to Las Vegas with the biggest lights and sense the darkness. Why? Because it's a spiritual darkness. Every true believer tonight in this place walks their life in the spiritual realm. My physical body, all of this stuff on the outside, the way that you and I are looking at each other on the veneer right now is vanishing away. It's dying. It's temporal. It's fading. You know what's amazing? It is what I just said is such a fact. It's a scientific fact. This is really sick, but if you had an electron microscope, when I go like this with my hand, if you had an electron microscope, you would see my hand pass through the atmosphere and you would see flesh falling from my hands. If I went like this with my face, I'm sending. You think COVID's bad? Get a whiff of this. Think of it. I'm dying right. I'm decaying. So are you. Don't look at me. Oh, Pastor, we'll pray for you. Pray for yourself. We're dying. We're dying. This is going away. And it's amazing being a believer because the more this goes away, the more excited I get. Right? It's amazing. Where was I? I lost my place, got so excited about that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2, 13. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That is before we became a follower of Jesus, that we lived for trespasses and sins. Trespasses is exactly what it means. Am I not supposed to go there or do that? That's right, you're not supposed to do it. That's what I'm going to go do. And sins is to cross the line. And so he goes on. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the, here it comes, the prince of the power of the air. Satan is in control of the atmosphere around us. Yeah, I thought Jesus was, listen, Jesus is on his throne. His grace ensconces the earth. It wraps the earth. But Satan is very, very much the one who's the prince of the power of the air and the god of this age, which means he's out and about working in the non-believer's life to keep them a non-believer. But then when he loses a non-believer to becoming a believer, us, I hope, all of you, I'm sure he's like, I lost one. Well, then I do the next thing. I'll sterilize him. If he loses, listen, if you get snatched from his black, rusty, gnarly crown of his, if you get snatched from that crown of his, he's got a gaping hole like a pulled out tooth. God takes you, and according to the blood of Christ, he makes you brand new. And watch this. So Satan's lost you, but he can never get you back. But what he does is that he'll do everything to use fear against you and intimidate you into silence. By the way, we know that these are the last days because now in recent times, humans are manifesting Satan's demonic activity and will. Humans are exercising. They may be cute and smart and whatever they are, but when they say things that intimidate you and try to control you and use fear on you, that's exactly what Satan traffics in. The Bible says, where God's love is, listen, fear is cast out. Perfect love cast out all fear. And so you are either somebody tonight that you're not fearful, you trust God, and just with your next breath, it's by His grace. It's Satan's will that none of us breathe at all right now. Did you know that, by the way? Did you see? I'm sure you didn't see that concert, but we've all seen the news of the concert. What's his name? Travis Scott? Totally satanic. I was looking at some analysis of this stuff. The whole stage was set up where he's eating a cross from the air by drone. You can see this. All these satanic symbols and people going through this like tunnel thing. People and then coming out as demons. He had these demon people walking up on the top of the skull. People were getting crushed and killed. But the thing is, people were passing out. And the people who survived said, we couldn't breathe. 50,000 of us. We couldn't breathe. That's what everybody's reporting. By the way, it's very interesting. A bunch of non-believers who were either stoned or not, we don't know. But it's okay. They were vaccinated. It's all good. It's all good. Maybe that's what killed them. I don't know. I'm just saying. No, I'm just kidding. They're standing there and they are trying to breathe. And the unbelievers who were there said, it was so demonic. It was demonic, they were saying. And there's so much that is of Satan that is running around these days. And you look at the antics. And it's, you know, it's veiled. Come on, Satan's not stupid. It's veiled. He veils things. Wake up, people. He veils things. He wraps things up. It's okay. I have YouTube for kids. My kids watch YouTube for kids. Oh, wow. You should see what they're doing. They get you to give your kid YouTube for kids. And about 35 minutes or an hour and a half or 3 hours into the algorithm of it, it starts dropping and showing your kids the agenda. And you thought, well, I've got this. It's okay. It's this. It's that. Listen. Satan is not going to show up with red face and black eyes and dripping fangs and oily hair. Well, you know what I mean. I don't mean if you have oily hair. I'm talking about like dreadlock, messed up, monster looking thing. He's not going to do that. He's going to show up in your life so seductive, so cool, so savvy, so smart, so refined. Now, I know this broadcast goes out everywhere, so this may not relate to people that are in North Africa. They may be watching this by the crank video power. And beautiful, refined, and well-dressed, and diamond rings, that's not the thing. But it's voodoo, witchcraft, and those parts of the world. What about many that are bound in Satanism in some of the Caribbean islands? Still to this day, as reported by Christopher Columbus, demon-worshipping, Satan-worshipping cannibals, which of course you know is what Caribbean is, man-eating sea, Caribbean. The Caribs ate people. When you take a, let's go to the Caribbean. That's okay, I'll stay home. No, it's beautiful now. But back in the day, they used to eat people there. That's how the Caribbean was named that. Demonism. And it's surfacing. I didn't finish Ephesians 2, verse 3 it says, or verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. We're still talking about the world to come. The millennial age is when Jesus will reign. We're not there right now. Satan's running around wreaking havoc. And so if you're going to blame somebody for what's going on in your life that is just heartless, don't blame God. I know that, you know, it's just the way we are as kids, just even as children. I had a woman come up to me Sunday night up in Northern California, and she said, Pastor Jack, I was angry at God. I was furious, and I let him know it because my 5-year-old son died of cancer, and I really let him have it. And she said, but you know what? Going through the Bible studies online with all of you, I come to find out that Jesus Christ came to give life, and Satan has come to rob and to kill and destroy. She gave me a hug, and she said, the Word of God got me through. And I said, you know, do you realize that I asked for her son's name. She told me I forgot his name. But I said, you know, we're going to see him very soon, you know. Even if you and I were to die of old age, that's going to be pretty soon. And that's true for the youngest person in here tonight. You blink and years go by now. But will you be going to heaven? Can you have that assurance? Of course you can. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. I've not even gotten close to finishing this Bible study. His love. We're not only bad in how we see things, bad vision. That grace that I mentioned earlier that gets us through a day, I think it was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, if I could suspend my ministry team, all of the Salvation Army workers, he said, if they could see hell for 5 minutes, I don't know why he said 5 minutes, maybe it's 5 seconds, but he said five something. He said they would never backslide. They would never turn away from Jesus. Today I was on the freeway, and a guy on one of those rocket bikes went by so fast. I mean, I've never seen a bike go that fast on the freeway before. And it was just boom, and he was just weaving in and just, and I thought, well, I just said out loud, I was by myself, dear God, he has no idea that he's a nanosecond from eternity. And that goes for all of us. Don't think for a moment that the moment you die, that there's some sort of a, you pick door number one, pick door two. You're not going to have any of that. The Bible's extremely clear. It's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. But just think today, I don't know about you, but I had a good day. To me, any day studying the Bible, that was my day. Studying the Bible, talking to God. What kind of a day is that? But if you were working at the office, if you're out in the construction site, or if you were at home, if you were not destroyed, it's because of God's grace. Jesus kept you. Because you know what? The one who is out and about, the prince of the power of the air, the God of this age, is seeking to destroy you. He's seeking to suck the air right out of you until you pass out and die. And you need to be aware of that if you're not. You say, I thought God loved me. He does. Listen. Of course he, listen. For God so loved you that he gave his only glorified son, begotten son, Jesus at the cross. If you will believe in him, you'll not perish. Here's the amazing thing. Without Jesus, by default, you're perishing. So, I've never heard that before. Doesn't change the truth. Well, what if I don't believe it? Doesn't change it. You think about everyone who's dead right now. Everyone who is dead has perfect theology. Can you imagine what Adolf Hitler could tell us right now? I know what he would say. He would say, love Jesus with all of your heart. Can you imagine? People in hell have perfect theology. It's just too late. Where will you be when you breathe your last breath? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you understand that it has nothing to do with what you do? It has nothing to do with what you've done. It has everything with you coming to the understanding that Jesus Christ died in your place. You and I are condemned to death. Because you and I are wretched sinners saved by the grace of God. And that's what separates the lost from the saved, is the grace of God. Does he transform us? Yes, but that's by his grace. Are we different people than what we used to be? Yes, that's by his grace. Do we sin less? Yes, by his grace. Are we sinless? No. But there's coming a day when we will be. When we breathe our last. When the believer breathes our last here, we breathe our first breath there. When the unbeliever breathes his last breath here, the unbeliever awakens in what the Bible calls hell. And hell is a place where God is not. There is no grace. Satan has his way. And Peter said, and we're done. You can stand, really. We're all done. Peter said, your enemy, your opponent, Satan, the devil, walks about like a lion, right? And what is he doing? He's seeking whom he can devour. Isn't it creepy? Think about it. There's going to be tonight, you're going to be asleep. And tonight, there's going to be burglars and robbers and thugs out. Don't get nervous. The Bible has told us this for thousands of years. The Bible says weirdos go out at night. And they plot. And they say things. The book of Proverbs says, they say to one another, let's see what we can go find and we'll shed innocent blood. And they conspire together and they love it. They do it all night long, and the day comes and they hide. They go and hide. The book of Proverbs says this. And so you lay down at night and think about this. The enemy of your soul never sleeps. And he's looking for a window that's just ajar, just cracked. And that little crack can be some thing of your life that's not under the obedience of Christ. And the enemy just, believer or non-believer, doesn't matter. They wiggle in, he wiggles in, and it sets up camp, has this place. That's why, listen, you guys, you precious saints, you guys, God is using you so much. You know, you saw the announcement tonight about Love Life. And I heard from Love Life, and they said, you guys are crushing it out there. So what do you mean? You guys are, I mean, not that it's a race, but maybe it is. But there's so many babies, there's so many moms that you guys are not only encouraging them not to get an abortion, but to keep the baby, and we'll help you keep the baby. Amen. We're not just going to tell you to keep the baby, we're going to help you keep the baby. Satan hates that. Amen. And so you're under attack. He's the prince of the power of the air. Are you having troubles with communication? With husband to wife? Children to parents? Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Confusion? Insanity? Stupid? Listen, stupid is loose. Have you noticed? You have to do this rule and this thing and that. And then you literally cross the county, and it's totally different rules. Or you go from Delta to United, and it's like going from I don't know what to somewhere. We're at a time where the scripture says every man did what was right in their own eyes. That is a manifestation of a satanic age. Thank God we belong to Jesus. If you don't belong to Jesus, you should stay up all night. If you don't belong to Jesus, you should stay up all night and freak out about it and be worried sick. Or you can pray with us right now. Amen. Dear Lord, you would say, I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to give up my life. And I want to give it to you, God. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I don't want religion. I don't want churchianity. I don't want a club. I don't want a membership card. I don't want any of that stuff. I want the living God in my life. And friend, you say yes to Jesus right now. He saves you from your sins. And you know what your sins are. That's the stuff that's causing guilt and shame in your life. And that's the stuff that you try to keep hidden. God already knows all about it. And you know he knows. So agree with him. And give it to him. And the Bible says that he will give you. Imagine this. He will transfer into your account and deposit in your account in heaven the righteousness of his son. And that's how you're going to go to heaven. And Lord, it would be wrong for us to close out this service if we don't pray now, Lord, for the 50,000 people who experienced demonic manifestation at the Astro World concert. God, we pray that every one of those people, that their eyes would be open. In fact, we pray, 50,000 people who Satan was just luring into his lair to trap them, to suck life out of them, literally. Lord, for those that survived, May they all come to Christ. May they all come to Jesus. May they all come to know the love. May they run to the cross of Christ where there's life for the broken sinner. Hallelujah, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you.